Ahoy hoy, everybody. Welcome to a Talking Simpsons special. This one is all about the new documentary by Hari Kondabalu, The Problem with Apu. I'm Bob Mackey, of course, and with me, as always...
Problematic favorite, Henry Gilbert. Hello.
Yes, and it is our duty to report on this documentary. Lots of people have asked us to talk about it, and I believe...
For months.
Yeah,
when
for months.
When it was first announced, and I was totally on board with seeing this and talking about it on here.
And you managed to... Well, how did we get a copy of this ahead of time?
I got on the PR list for
okay,
it.
Okay, cool,
got to
cool.
See it ahead of time. Though now everybody, it aired on True TV now, and you can watch it on apps and shit.
But yeah,
yeah, we did get to see it ahead of time, and actually, I would like to say I'd want to interview Hari Kondabalu when he comes around. I think he's coming to Oakland in a couple weeks. Maybe,
oh, that'd be
so.
Great. Yeah.
But I think we should say, you know, if you don't like this documentary, you might not want to listen to this.
Yeah.
Because we did like it.
We don't want to make you mad. And we're also not saying, throw The Simpsons away. You know, we should just cast it into the ocean because, A, we have to make money off of The Simpsons.
Yes.
But B, it's a very nuanced situation. And we're not going to be like super strident about our opinions. I think the documentary is very nuanced and it's the guy argues his point well. And I feel like he doesn't want to destroy The Simpsons, so we're not on board with that.
My name is Hari Kondabalu. I've had a great career filled with laughter, critical acclaim. I should be completely happy, but there's still one man who haunts me. Apu Nahasapimapetilon.
Please pay for your purchases and get out and come again.
How many of you had to deal with being called Apu or that being referenced?
The Simpsons, stereotypes, all races. The problem is, we didn't have any other representation.
Cabby, 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 deli, deli, deli. Doctor.
Yeah, well, I guess let's start from the beginning then. So the documentary itself is, without commercials, it's about 90 minutes long, so a normal documentary length. And
actually, I think it was only an hour.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It's only like an hour.
Like 54 minutes.
And it follows a similar path, like, say, Michael Moore documentaries. It actually reminded me a bit of Roger and Me.
Yes.
In that the through line of the film is he wants to interview Hank Azaria, but he explores Apu in general as a character that he is an Indian American, always felt defamed by or be uncomfortable with, even though he loved the show. And the film, as a film, it at least has the tension of, will he interview Hank Azaria? Will you see Hank Azaria in this? Though, I do feel like if he had actually interviewed Hank Azaria, that would be the one news story we read about, and we would have seen it on every website, and it would have spoiled it. So, spoilers, he doesn't.
Even without knowing, I kind of knew he didn't get in touch with
him.
I mean, he gets in touch with them, but they never speak.
Yeah, yeah. But so, I mean, another place to start is that we talked about this before the film was even announced in our podcast about Homer and Apu, where... me, you, and Chris, we've talked about how as three white dudes, like
we're experts in race.
Yes, yeah. But we as pretty liberal white dudes who also are fans of The Simpsons, we can see how Apu makes people uncomfortable and how it's not really about our feelings on Apu, but the more I think about it, and especially in the ways they bring it up in this documentary, I'm like, yeah, he's Apu's a problem. Apu's a problem.
And I think I even mentioned on that episode of Talking Simpsons that I was not even woke to the problematicness of Apu until the movie came out, the Simpsons movie came out, and they were turning 7-Elevens into Quickie Marts throughout all over the country, select ones, and some of the owners got mad. They were like, I don't want to be standing next to a cardboard cutout of a character who I was mocked for looking like or sounding like my entire life. Like, I don't want this. And I was like, oh, someone else's experience. I never thought of that.
Yeah,
That's really what opened my eyes to how Apu could be an issue for some people.
Totally. It's something like in... So many, he makes such a good point if he interviews, like, in the beginning, Hari makes a big point of, like, wow, there's actually famous Southeast Asians now, which there weren't before, and almost all of them have the story of, like, oh, yeah, somebody shouted, thank you, come again at me, or they've said, I went to the Quickie Mart, or, I mean, Cal Penn, especially, like, some of them hate The Simpsons more than others.
Yeah,
like,
Cal Penn hates The Simpsons.
Yes, and I understand that.
Yeah.
I hate Apu.
Hate Apu.
Hate Apu.
When
and because of that, I dislike The Simpsons.
Wow, the whole series.
Yeah.
The whole series?
Yeah.
I love The Simpsons. I just don't love that character. But the whole
I have
thing.
Never been able to divorce the two.
I love The Simpsons because...
You hate yourself.
Because I complete... this whole film is me trying to get over the fact I hate myself.
The problem with Apu is that he was the only South Asian American on TV for like 15 years, 20 years. So that was everyone's touchstone for what a South Asian American should be or will be. Like, it really limits our conception as to like what jobs they can work, you know, mostly everything about his life too.
Yeah. And that he began as a stereotype. And one of the first times the movie proved to me like this is an expert.
Yeah.
Is early on when he's like, well, okay, I know the interviews that I would pull for this about the history of creating Apu, and I figured they'd have one of them, which would be Hank Azaria saying, he said it many times, like, he was Indian from the start, and I always did this voice, and blah, blah, blah. But I was like, well, I know last year Mike Reiss was very clear that it was not Indian until Hank Azaria wanted a cheap laugh, and then that's in the movie.
Yeah, actually, I was like, oh, he didn't do his homework, but then, so they play a clip of Hank saying that they told me to make it as stereotypical as possible, make the voice as, you know, stereotypical as possible, and I was like, oh, wait a minute, he's lying, yeah. But then they play the clip of Mike Reiss saying, we put in the script, not Indian, above Apu's first line. I don't even think he was named Apu then, because he wasn't an Indian person.
He was Clerk, and I mean, I'd love to see the original script for, I believe it's a Telltale Head when he first appears. I think that's in production order, at least. I think that might be the first time he appeared. Because he sells a squishy to Bart and those hoodlums who are then stealing while they're there. And that's Pooh had much more. He lasted a lot longer than that flower shop guy.
Oh, God. He died after the first episode.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Hari goes after Hank pretty hard in this episode. Yeah. But, I mean, all the writers are complicit in this decision. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure if I could talk to Matt Groening, he was probably raising a stink about it, because we've seen his notes on storyboards and things like that. Mm-hmm. He's the guy who, for the most part, protected The Simpsons from making bad decisions. Apu was, like, the one thing that kind of slipped through. Although, there were iffy jokes when we go back to watch the show.
Absolutely. Well, that's a larger point about The Simpsons and everything, that everything is imperfect. It's made by people, and so biases will get in, and that's also why you don't have to throw away your love of The Simpsons because it's imperfect. Like, you don't have to do that. But I think with Groening particularly, like, he was seen as... You discovered it when we were watching... When you watched the animatics for the Homer Defined.
Right.
Because he had a note in it of, like, PC Matt here again.
Yeah.
Be careful with these Asian characters. Richard Sakai was insulted by the last time we had a Japanese people drawn in this. We'd heard on the commentaries, which also gets played in the movie, Matt Groening saying he was named Apu after the Apu trilogy, the Sajid Ray films, and which were like, if you were a film snob, they were probably the only Indian films you saw in the 70s. And you can see it as like kind of a celebration, but it is like a dude who doesn't know, who a white guy celebrating an outside culture, at least in a way. But then through the stereotype of the Indian guy who works at the 7-Eleven, that's exactly who he is. Mm-hmm. And they also, I know on commentaries too, they talked about how Sam Simon went to 7-Elevens all the time, and so that's kind of why Quickie Mart was an early thing in the show, an early, like, location they kept going to.
And they kind of do an overview of sort of a general, like, sampling of Apu jokes in the documentary, and I feel like, yeah, some of them are racist. Like, the jokes about Apu, they waver between, look at how dumb Homer is, and look how, you know, callous he is about someone else's culture. Sometimes it's like, Indian people are weird, Indian culture is weird, isn't this wacky, this different culture, aren't they so weird? And
this,
I know,
food is spicy,
and it's like, they do make fun of everyone, and I kind of hate that argument, but yeah, you can say anything you want about a white person and they're still going to have every benefit. If your only representation for a South Asian American for 20 years is a guy at a convenience store, that's a lot more harmful than most other things.
And He made the point that I really didn't want to think about pretty clearly, that it is different too when it is a white guy doing it, because if it was, say, an actual Indian man, an Indian immigrant doing the character, I feel like you would expect that person to at least be in the recording booth and be like, no, this is fucked up, I'm not doing this line. Or, actually, guys, you know, that's not my experience, or this is actually really insulting. But meanwhile, when it's Hank Azaria, who I think seems like a nice guy, he seems like a good guy, but when it's him, he might not come at it that way, and he sees it as same as any other joke, is same as him doing Luigi, who I really don't like that Luigi is a bit of he's like, they're out of, like, we make fun of Italians too, it's just like, well, but Italians have transcended their ethnicity to whiteness because of their skin color. That's how you can transcend ethnicity in America, as long as you're white, and then you're allowed to assimilate. Otherwise, though, we don't like you so much.
Yeah, the one thing I would change about this movie is that Hari does go back and he looks into the origins of Apu's name, but he says the last name of Apu, Nahasabimapetilon, is complete bullshit. But we know that it was a classmate of Jeff Martin's. It was their first and last name. I think it was Nahasabimapetilon or Pahasa.
I believe it was Pahasadi Napetilon.
Yeah, something like that. But I mean, that could make it more racist because it's just like, oh, what? These are all a bunch of random like sounds.
I remember this name because it's a silly name.
Yeah, and the joke was, I'm a Punasapipetilon. I'm playing Steve, and that's the joke.
The joke, yeah, and I guess it's a joke on like, it's not a judgment of I don't know. Deconstructing jokes is boring.
Yeah,
but it is.
Welcome. Thanks for giving us money too.
Yes, but I don't see that particular joke as a joke on aren't Indian names crazy. I guess it's more of just like a reaction of here's his very lengthy Indian name and here he is being called Steve in this. But it is, I think too, there are a couple classic Apu jokes where he's like kind of sexless or confused that definitely kind of border into the Short Circuit character a bit too, which is, and I also had seen this. Actually, I'd seen Al Jean tweet this out, too, that of a person saying, actually, Apu is a parody of how immigrants are treated in America, and they get shoved into this role, and he's actually a computer genius that then is forced to work at the Quickie Mart. I was like, well, that's not exactly right. For including up to Homer and Apu in season 5, him being a computer genius did not matter. That never came up, and he wasn't that character.
I think that was more of a decision by Oakley and Weinstein to sort of salvage Apu. Mm-hmm. By the mid-90s, his stereotype was getting a bit sour.
They knew it wasn't great then either. And in the Immigrants episode, which I can't wait for us to re-explore,
it's gonna be
that
great
one. I feel like I hope things aren't even worse by the time we record that. But in that one, on the commentary, David Cohen, who's the writer, he said he was partially inspired by that because as a computer science expert, he knew tons of brilliant Indian immigrants who in the computer sciences. But that's also a stereotype of which is the Short Circuit guy.
Yes, exactly. It's so awful to think about. And this documentary does a great job of pointing it out. Just like your touchstone for South Asian Americans in entertainment for the past, I don't know, 50 years has been a white guy doing it. So in the 60s, it was Peter Sellers in The Party. And that is where Hank Azaria gets his voice from. And you know what? He sucks in that. That's a bad. Yeah. I mean, like, okay.
You're celebrating Peter Sellers. There's a lot better things of that.
Go back to Dr. Strangelove.
Yes.
So Peter Sellers in the 60s and 70s. And then it's Forrest Tucker in Short Circuit, right?
No, it's Fisher Stevens.
Fisher Stevens, right. And then, I mean, obviously a white guy. I mean, not so obviously, because even Hari didn't realize that until a few years ago that the guy was not an Indian in that movie. Mm-hmm. And then we have Apu. So it's just like a history of your race being a parody, like a white person doing a parody.
Yeah, it's, I can empathize with that. It is. And I've read an interview that's not sourced in this where Hank Azaria even empathized with it. I think it's in the article that's also a plot point in the movie, but of him saying like, well, yeah, as a Jewish guy, I've heard people make fun of Jewish voices.
Yeah, and he plays old Jewish man.
Like that. Yeah, but it's different.
Yeah,
And that's a point about like diversity in the workplace too, which is like, that's something too that I love that Hari does in the movie. He touts on immediately like, all of you assholes who are going to call me a fucking snowflake who should like this, I put up with it for 30 years.
Yeah.
Like, so fuck you.
He has earned the right to make this and have his voice heard. And it made me reflect on my own experiences because I never met any South Asian Americans until I went to grad school, until I was in my mid-20s. And when I met them, I would immediately think of Apu. Like, oh, just like Apu. I wouldn't say that out loud, but I'm like, this really sucks if my only reference for your people is Apu, you know?
And it's a difficult thing, too, that it's a comedy. So you do have to, characters have to be funny, and it's harder. It is definitely harder as a comedian to have like, oh, this person is a great role model. And now comedy. It's like, that's, I think of this with, actually, Life of Brian, because they talked about in Monty Python Making Life of Brian that originally Christ was going to be a major character in it. And they're just like, well, this isn't funny. Like, he just agrees to everything. There's no conflict. So you can't have, it's harder to have, get comedy out of a upstanding good person who is a, who doesn't have problems. So you have to give up who problems, but when it's not an Indian writer, when it's not an Indian actor, it then becomes at the very least ignorant. You know, I don't want to say hateful, but definitely ignorant.
Yeah, I don't think there's any hate behind these jokes, but
I don't think so either.
It also, this documentary made me realize, like, oh, that Octuplets episode, that is kind of racist, because why would they choose a Apu of all characters to have eight children? It's like, there's so many Indian people. There's so many people in India, and they've made jokes like that before.
I never thought of it like
and
that.
And I was like, oh, damn, I didn't even realize this. And I am an angry leftist.
Yeah, we're the exact snowflakes who should be mad about everything we see. And then we didn't. I was blind to that. And I'm sure there's a million things I'm still blind to. Still learning, still trying to get better, folks. Now's the time to listen. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I don't want to say that. That was a joke. It was also hard to watch seeing the all those other famous South Asian American actors talking about all the shit they've had to play. And it was, but that was the improvement that they got to play. I'd heard this from, actually, Whoopi Goldberg's in the film kind of talking about this, but I've heard her say this before, and also Robert Townsend as well say this about African American roles in movies, that you look back at the films of the 40s or 50s or even more recently than that. But say you look back at horrible characters like Step and Fetch It or The Little Rascals.
Buckwheat. Yeah.
You look back at them like, this is fucking racist. And I've heard them defend it as, obviously not as not racist, but saying, well, these actors were in a shitty position of, they either just aren't in stuff, they just don't cast any black people, or you have a problematic role. So you either have no career or you have to be in, at the very least, a problematic role. And so it's a horrible choice they're left with. Mm-hmm. And that's, Cal Penn talks about that beautifully, of just like, of he really didn't want to do Van Wilder to play, like, the character of Taj Mahal.
I forgot his name was Taj Mahal. Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
And it's the classic, like, I'm not doing that voice, but it's the classic of, oh, I just moved here, your American sex confuses me. And they're like, it's the same gag they did with nerds in the 80s, but now they're like, oh, this nerd is Indian now, though.
Right, right. And they bring up, you brought it up just a second ago, the act of, they call it patanking, which is going into that sing-songy sort of, I mean, it's similar to an Indian accent, but it is sort of the cartoony Peter Sellers-y, Fisher Stevens-y, Hank Azaria take on, you know, that accent.
Yeah.
How would you define patanking if you were to explain what that means?
Patanking is being asked to speak in a broad Indian accent with broad acting.
They want the accent to sound like this, and they want your tongue to be really pulled back.
So patanking was going into a room and having to do that exact thing in front of people like a monkey.
I think Hari even recognizes, like, my parents kind of sound like that. People mm-hmm. talk like that. But it's also like, fuck that. It's to make fun of people. You don't use that. Or it's what you think we're supposed to sound like. The oh my God, the one actress in it who says, oh, I've mostly played like the mothers of like rapists or terrorists, and just saying like, he's a good boy.
And she slips into that accent like almost immediately.
Yeah, and you're just like, boy, this is depressing that they've been... You just have to imagine all the shit they've had to eat going into auditions of like, so you don't sound Indian enough. Could you kind of, you know, just up it a bit?
It was funny to see that his parents were not offended by Apu. They were just sort of, I guess they put up with a lot more racism to that might just, you know, slide off their back or whatever. But I think she even said his mother was in the film, like, we had bigger battles to fight. Mm-hmm. And she was fine with him being upset with Apu. But I'm sure there were much bigger battles than being mad about a cartoon character. I'm not saying that to be reductive.
Now, I like that. I actually like how he's kind of embarrassed when she says, oh, you have Apu hair today. It's like, what? There are a couple times in this movie, also with Whoopi Goldberg, where he kind of expects them to be more offended by things than they are, and he's kind of surprised. Whoopi Goldberg, well, let's talk about his parents a little more, too. I think, I agree with you. I think that they were, I don't want to speak to their immigrant experience, but how could you not have your skin hardened by all-day racism around America all fucking day? So
yeah, I believe his parents were immigrants, too.
Yeah, I believe so, and so they've just had to put up with so much shit that thinking about a cartoon show is so low on that thing, and they just had to, like, strive to give their son's a good life. That's all they wanted.
And the clip they played made me think back to the episode where Apu gets married, And it was just on 302010 this came up, and I totally forgot. It's like, this could have been a great moment to correct a lot going wrong with Apu, but instead, they have two other characters on the show. They're both South Asian Americans, played by white people. I think it's Jan Hooks and Andrea Martin playing the two new Indian characters. I'm like, oh, this was like 99 or 98. They could have hired one South Asian American to play one of these voices. And then it made me think back to when we saw the live reading of King of the Hill. The last year, we went to Sketchfest.
Yep.
It was a fantastic show. We saw the entire cast, King of the Hill, do the script Husky Bobby live with Greg Daniels.
Yep.
And Kevin Pollak.
All the actors.
All the actors, too. Kevin Pollak was there. And I believe Toby Huss introduced himself as Khan.
Yep.
And Kevin Pollak says, so when did that start being racist?
Yes, they know how screwed up it is. I will say in comparison to Apu, King of the Hill, at least for Khan's wife and daughter, I believe the actors are actually
that's Lauren
Asian.
Tom.
Yeah, yeah. So the actor, the plays the wife and the daughter, same actress, isn't it? Yeah, but so I believe they actually got an Asian actor for that, but I think at the time they're just like, well, Toby Huss is funny, and we don't want to hire somebody new, so let's just have him do this.
More importantly, this is a crazy voice he could do. It's a crazy screamy voice like Cotton Hill. It's just like, man, that kind of hurts like some episodes for me going back.
Yeah. No. And I think they dealt with it sooner.
And
they had other. It took The Simpsons, which we'll get to, and they cover in the documentary too, but it took The Simpsons 20 years before they actually hired an Indian American actor to talk about this stuff with Apu in the show.
Yeah, and in favor of King of the Hill, they were much more serious about Khan, about who he is. He's very specifically Laotian. That affects his character and his wife and everything like that. And they look at the struggles of an immigrant in America more seriously on King of the Hill than they did with Apu until much later.
And in the first episode he's in, the tenseness for Hank is that he's like, I don't like this person, but I don't want to be racist, but this guy's a jerk. And one of my favorite Khan episodes was, I believe it's when they go to Mexico for some reason, and then they have to like sneak back into the country.
Right.
And at the end, Khan is just like, you know all the shit I had to do to become an American citizen? You guys just snuck in. Like, it was, that was funny. But also seeing Toby Huss live do Khan's voice, you're like, nah, this makes me uncomfortable. I don't like this. And I'm not into that idea of like, well, comedy's supposed to make you uncomfortable, man. Like, is that really the point of comedy? Like, is it to make...
Then it's incredibly easy to do comedy, if that's the case.
Yeah, you can say any number of words that make people uncomfortable, but that's not comedy. Sometimes it feels more to me like, I think Family Guy actually covered this recently, which was out of... I don't particularly agree with their stance, but it was that there are picketers outside of the house, and Brian has apparently had an offensive tweet, and now everybody is attacking him. He's like, what do you fucking want me to do, kill myself? Like, I made a bad joke, sorry. I was like, well, I think people should just say more burly, like, yeah, you made a bad joke, but also that's harder to take because that's such an easy cover of abusive people to be like, it's just a joke. I've heard that a million times from people like, you fucking meant that. It's not a joke.
You had a small amount of plausible deniability built into what you said, so you could slip out of it. But you meant it.
Yeah, and same like, well, it's just a joke. Well, what's a joke? Women are ugly and they're stupid.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Get it?
Yeah, great. Like, and same with, and they were like, oh, what's a joke? Oh, it's funny that an Indian would sound this way. They wouldn't speak English normally like an Indian.
Yeah, there are Weasley ways to slip out of it, but
yeah. And I think too, something I would have liked to see him address, and why it would be interesting to interview him, is he, you know, there were times where The Simpsons tried, like we've pointed out, where they actually got Indian, they called somebody to speak Hindi and have Apu say Hindi to Sanjay, who doesn't even come up in this, who's like, he's slightly even more racist, I'd say, and Little Jump Shed. But then there's other times where they just said, nah, just say gibberish, who cares? Like, it'll sound Indian, which that's a lot worse.
I'm thinking of Marge and Chains when they're chanting in the Quickie Marts.
They're just celebrating and dancing that they put a woman in jail, which is like, well, it's fucked up. But
I believe you said we're putting that bitch on ice.
I almost did the voice. I feel bad. So Well, let's talk about Dana Gould in the movie.
Yeah.
He is the closest to the Simpsons establishment appearing in this film. He's the only, I think, writer who's appeared in it.
I have a feeling it was a lot like the unauthorized oral history of the Simpsons that came out in about a decade ago. In fact, that author is in the documentary as well.
Yes, yeah, he's kind of their expert witness, though. You know, Hari, call us next time.
We're better than that guy.
We could be your white dorks who apologize for racism.
But I'm sure it was just like with the writing of that book, James L. Brooks is like, no one talk to this guy. Like a message from God saying, nobody can talk to this guy. If you do, you're off the show, you're in trouble. So I have a feeling it was like that. And Dana Gould hasn't been on the show for a decade at least now.
Yeah, but he's also, he's interviewing Gould, and I think they at least respect each other as comedians too.
Yeah.
It's not an attack on Gould, but he does have to ask him why this voice? He's just like, well, you make fun of, and Gould has kind of a stock reply Mr. Burns is a character too, and he is, but that comes into it's punching upwards. You're not attacking a poor immigrant who just immigrant class who comes to this country and gets a ton of shit. You're making fun of the rich white guy who controls everything, so fuck him.
So yeah, Dana Gould, he brings up a really ugly truth. Just this, some accents sound funny to white people, and this is one of them. And he's right. There are certain things they have a pousse because it's funny to hear it said in that voice. We're putting that bitch on ice. Things like that.
Please don't offer my God a peanut.
Yeah. That sing-songy voice is funny, even though it is kind of, uncool and hateful to South Asian Americans.
Yeah, and it is, as the point he makes with Whoopi Goldberg, it's blackface. I mean, or it's minstrelsy, as they put it.
Yeah, Whoopi Goldberg is he is not singing and dancing, is he? And they immediately cut to Who Needs the Quickie Mart. And she's like, oh, shit.
Minstrel shows began when white people decided they wanted to be able to do the cakewalk because there were not black folks on stage. So white people dressed as black people and put on the blackface.
I wanted to ask you about your collection of black Americana. You have a very large personal connection.
I call it Negrobilia.
A lot of racist imagery, it's blackface.
Yeah.
It's clearly stuff that was made to mock black people.
I don't even think it was that deep.
Really?
Yeah. I have this thing from the Coon Chicken Inn. That was the name of a restaurant. I don't think they were thinking, we're going to get them now. I think they were like, that's funny.
What else is in the collection?
One of my favorite is a German postcard. There's a little white girl, a little white boy in the bed, and this other little black face is in the middle. And she says to him, lick him and see if he's chocolate. If you've never seen black people, we look chocolate.
So you're telling me there might have been an epidemic at some point where people were licking black people to see if they tasted like chocolate.
And if you played your cards right, you can make it work for you too.
Dana Gould, we as fans of Dana Gould and followers of his work and his great podcast, he's had a problematic history with problematic comedy. Sometimes he'll be the guy who says, yeah, but come on. I mean, let me just say this thing. But he'll also be the guy who will have on trans comedians who say, well, this shit hurt my feelings.
Yeah,
this sucks.
I remember in the early years of his podcast, I think his podcast dates back to 2012, maybe 2011. Mm-hmm. He made some pretty awful trans jokes in that era. And I noticed he doesn't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, that's good. I think he's learned things. And he's not as big of a crank as he seems like.
Yeah, but it's also a man pushing 60. He'll just have some views. As I get older, I'm sure I'll be but in my day, I feel that creeping in sometimes still.
We can't escape it.
It's hard to. Everybody's imperfect, man. Mm-hmm. Give everybody a pass. No, I appreciate that Dana Gould even showed up there to be he has to be the Simpsons guy defending this thing. And so, that it is, some voices sound funny to white people or Americans. So white Americans, so you're just that's funny. Same too with him being asked, do you think it's a bad thing or a good thing? And he just says, I think it's a thing. And he wants to be neutral on it, which I feel it's him. I think he really thinks it's a bad thing, ultimately, or that at best it's a thing of just progress, and he can't stop progress. And he's still I'll still enjoy the things I loved and accept that they're problematic and still be like, yeah, then I can still like this shit. Like, it's, he loves tons of old stuff while still at the same time saying like, oh, I mean, that character, it demeans all black people. But anyway, I love this old movie.
And we should point out that Dana Gould has, I think, like three adopted daughters from China. Yeah. And there's an entire Simpsons episode that's based on his life. So he is in touch with racial issues. I imagine having three Chinese daughters and being an old white man, you have to deal with those things, you know?
Yeah, so he might be more in touch with it thanks to that. But also, like, I think in general with Simpsons writers, what Gould has to represent, it is a very white group of men. Like,
yes.
And so they, even if they call them, even if they view themselves as liberal or super lefty dudes, which I think most of them do, there's still a lack of experience that you don't know. And it's not to say, I think too, people worry like, oh, does this mean you can't have a job or we should fire all the writers and just hire diverse people? It's like, no, but give more opportunities and let this kind of is what we talked about with the Mimi Pond stuff and finding out about the women not being allowed in the Simpsons writers room back then. I'm just like, it's a series of opportunities. She didn't get her first opportunity, so she didn't get her second one or third. And so it just excludes women in general from positions, you know?
Yeah. And 1989 doesn't seem like a long time ago, but it was. And yes, it's always, I always hate going back to a Mystery Science Theater episode I love, a Gamera episode, and then hearing racist Japanese jokes. Yeah. Just like, God, this was a long time ago, and this was not considered like, you know, cruel or anything like that. But it's just like, I love all these people. They're like nice Midwestern people, but they're making the, you know, LR swap jokes and things like that. Just like, man, this is such hack shit, too, at the same, and it's also racist.
But it's a thing about, I think, too, it is, it's not like I can't say, you know, Joel Hodgson or had never heard that Japanese people don't talk that way and they would be insulted by that. But I do think it's like, especially they're living in the middle of Minnesota and they're barely being exposed to anything.
Yeah.
And comedians like Hari Kondabolu they don't get to speak truth to power themselves. So ignorance just gets to continue. And one of my favorite bits in the movie is when he's talking with W. Kamau Bell, Berkeley's own W. Kamau Bell.
All right.
But they're chatting about sitting in the front row at a comedy show and having every comedian go up and be like, oh, hey, who's in the front row? Oh, it's a bunch of Indians. And then they do jokes and they're like, hey, I'm just dying to offend everybody. But his point is like, if he can't come up and then make fun of all white people, then it's just white people offending everybody and having their own, like, it becomes unequal distribution of abuse at the very least.
Mm-hmm. And comedy really should ideally be all about punching upwards. So, I mean, that is kind of the thesis, I think, that's running through secretly in this documentary, that the Apu jokes, for the most part, they are punching downwards. They're punching downwards at, you know, the immigrant experience. Even though the show is sympathetic towards him at some times, the better jokes in The Simpsons are making fun of institutions that are awful, like business and Mr. Burns and government, things like that, things that are hurting people. Like
the police.
Taking the piss out of those things is much funnier because you've It's a bit like, revolutionary, I guess, if I want to take it that far.
Well, punching downward has another term, and that's bullying.
Yeah.
And I think, too, like, most comedians are fucking nerds, I would think. And so something I really hate as a nerd is when I see other nerds then decide, well, now that I have power, it's time for me to do some of the bullying.
Yeah, that happens a lot in the tech industry.
It happens way too much. Yeah. And it's what happens when you have a lack of empathy. And so instead, you're just like, I am guilty of this. Like, you get a rush of power of finally being the one to laugh at other people or hold something over them instead of being laughed at. Mm-hmm. Like, it can feel good for a second, but it is wrong. Like, and so doing that same with Apu is bad. Like, and so, but yeah, what do you think of his chase of Hank Azaria? And I think it hurt the movie just a little bit to me to know that, like, well, I know you're not getting him.
Yeah, like, I feel like I really wish Hank Azaria would have been on this because I don't think he would have had anything to lose. But obviously it could have been, you know, he was afraid of, the headlines or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
Hank Azaria says Apu is bad.
Yeah, or Hank Azaria says Apu is good and not racist. Like, it is absolutely a huge can of worms. Like, it is a touchy subject, and he likely would get in hot water no matter what he said, which isn't fair, sure, but he's been doing this character a long time, and some people deserve answers on that shit.
I mean, ultimately, I think not being in the documentary hurts him more than possibly saying the wrong thing. It just makes him seem like a coward or someone.
Well, his final email, especially at the end of the film, is like that. That felt pretty cowardly to me.
What was the quote that he brings up? The really like ironic quote. It's like, I don't want.
He doesn't want.
Oh, so he said, I don't want you like painting me in the wrong light or
he's afraid of
misportraying
that.
Me. But then, you know, Hari's like, well, you misportray an Indian character on TV for 30 years. Like, why do you get that right? But I don't.
It's great for you that you get to define how you're portrayed. I didn't get that.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think too it is, maybe they'll just want to have like, they'll go to a, you know, I feel like this film is really the beginning of a conversation, certainly not the end of it.
Yeah.
And that it is, I think The Simpsons will also do more of a reaction to this. I think they viewed it, the producers maybe viewed this as, well, let's see how big this film is and if we have to address it or not. And if they do, then maybe Hank Azaria and Harry will be on a news program together and they'll have a debate or they'll do a public debate about this.
I imagine there will be an interview at some point in the future. And I also feel like The Simpsons as a show has been using Apu less and less over time.
Absolutely.
Before I realized Apu was problematic, so Apu had the octuplets, and they did a few episodes with them, and then he kind of just disappeared. And this is like the maybe mid-2000s. I'm like, where is Apu? Like, why aren't they using Apu anymore? I wonder why. Mm-hmm. And that could be why. They're just like, this does not make us look good, and we should just, you know, keep him in the background for now until we figure
him
out.
Have him have one line in the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think he only has that one line to Burns in the movie, where it's just him asking Burns for help and he doesn't even have a joke. Do you remember any other bits with Apu?
Yeah, I don't think so. There was no Quickie Mart stuff in the movie.
No, even though there was a ton of like ads for shit for it. But no, and well, that was another big plus for the movie to me. That was like, I didn't watch the episode because I don't watch as many new Simpsons as I do, but I did recall like, wait, didn't they have on a famous comedian to do, or they had on an actual Indian American comedian to talk about this shit? And he interviews him and they talk about that episode and how they kind of deal with it. But also I like that the actor was very clear of like, he was disappointed by it. And he says that the Simpsons had final cut on it because it is their show. And he felt like he got to say his piece, but he gave them more that could have been used and they didn't use it.
Yeah. He thought of a really funny joke they didn't use. He says he's yelling at Apu for being like a stereotype.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the jokes was, you sound like a white guy doing an accent. And he wanted them to cut to Hank Azaria in the recording booth. Like, so you can actually see the man who does Apu's voice.
That would have gone a long way of addressing this more internally. And the fact that they didn't go with that, I mean, I don't want to assume intent in that. The Simpsons probably get a million like, well, that's a funny ad lib, but we won't use it.
Yeah.
They have a million of those, and they also really like their scripts. But the scene when they showed it to, of then they bring out Luigi to be like, we all have a stereotypes. I was like, yes, but it doesn't work exactly.
Yeah,
the
that's
same
like
way.
A stereotype of Italians 70 years ago, maybe.
Yes, yeah. By the way, they had an actually really funny Luigi joke on it. I watched a recent episode. It's the one where Marge becomes mayor, and which feels like a plot you would have thought they'd done in the last decade, but they didn't. And there's a bit where she talks to Luigi, and he says like, oh, I'm everybody thinks I'm a stereotype who makes the pasta for the animals to eat together. But I also like a pizza pie.
I do love Don Vittorio, too.
Don Vittorio.
I know.
Yeah. But, and I don't know, I feel like we're allowed to do that one because they're white-ish. So, and I can't say I'm not Italian, or I don't have some Italian ancestry. But anyway, okay, at the end of the movie, he makes the argument that this was the one bit I was like, this almost goes too far for me of the argument. He says, The Simpsons is like your racist grandpa, or your grandpa, who you love your grandpa, but he has a lot of bad stuff in his past, and he still will do things that disappoint you. And you're like, well, what do I do with this? How do I deal with this grandpa? And then the end of it, he's just like, well, then maybe it's time to bury grandpa. Maybe it's time. It's like, well, it almost felt like he was saying, let's just cancel the show, which is like, that's the argument of just, can we just end the show because it's gone on too long? I could see if I was being my racist uncle, as I would say, like, this is him saying to censor the show, to cancel the show because it doesn't offend people.
Yeah, it starts turning into a different argument about how the show's gone on too long and the last like 30 seconds of the documentary. He says that only the first 10 years were good.
Yeah, which, you know, sure.
Yeah.
but
we're going to cover it all. Don't worry.
Yes, we're not stopping at 10. But... yeah, I think that to me felt like that he needed an ending. You have to end a documentary somehow. And documentary, in this case, a documentary was a bit like a long editorial in film form. And so you need a conclusion. Just if you're writing something, you need a conclusion to it. So, and part of that is offering a fix. He wants to offer some sort of fix, which his answer seems to be like, look, just let's end The Simpsons and let it be a artifact of the past, not a continuing thing.
Yeah.
Which I don't totally agree with. I feel like The Simpsons can still do good work. I'd want to give them the chance to, and I wouldn't want to. I still think on its worst day, Simpsons is better than 70% of television that's made today in America, but...
Or just have an episode where Apu hurts his throat,
yeah,
and they cast a new actor.
Yes.
And for the rest of the show, he's played by an Indian person.
Yeah. He also says, like, well, you can't kill Apu because then you're killing off the Indian character, and then you just don't have him anymore. It's like, boy, it's a problem.
It's very tricky.
Yeah, it's very tricky. And if the show had ended like all shows that came out alongside it did, we could just remember it in the past and be like, oh, that part in the past was fucked up, but they're not making any more of it, so you can't change it. Like, it's just
like
an artifact.
In Short Circuit, like, that won't happen again. You know, that would...
You would hope.
I don't think it did. Maybe it did, but I don't recall. Mm-hmm. It was never that popular if it did.
Yeah, and so I don't know what the fix is either, other than just use Apu less and just don't have him around. Like, he's a beloved character of the series. Like, he's probably a lot of people's like 20th favorite or 40th.
He's been there from the very beginning.
Season one. Yeah, he's been there from season one. So, you know, you'd want to have him in there, but it's something too. You just like, it's in the... At least seeing him on screen, it just makes you uncomfortable now, which is not what you want a comedy to do. You're not laughing.
Yeah. So, yeah, this has been our discussion of the problem with Apu. Hopefully we didn't sound too whiny. I hope if you disagree with us, at least you think we are not, I don't know, terrible, and you don't want to give us money anymore.
No, but I figured you guys wanted to hear our thoughts on this.
Yeah,
so I
yeah.
wanted to share it. And yeah. I absolutely welcome comments on this, especially like if we were ignorant, if we said something stupid, I want to hear it too. If we were problematic, I'd like to know.
If you agree, if you disagree, I just want to know what you guys think of this little mini podcast we did about the documentary. Mm-hmm. And I think everyone should watch it, even if you don't agree. You can see, I think he might win you over by the end, because it's like, this is my he's saying, this is my experience. Mm-hmm. You do not experience the pain and the bullying that I went through, and this is why I view Apu like this. And mm-hmm. I think he is very convincing. So thank you so much for listening, folks. As always, you can find me on Twitter as Bob Serbo, and I think that's basically all the plugs for now.
And HENERYG on Twitter for me too, if you want to chat about this some more as well.
And happy Thanksgiving if you celebrate. If not, just eat a lot of food. It's fun and everyone does it. So take it easy, folks.
Wow, infotainment.